From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotion is entitled, Maintain the Difference. The text is found in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Pharaoh has a people, and the Lord has a people. These may dwell together and seem to fare alike. But there is a division between them, and the Lord will make it apparent. Not forever shall one event happen alike to all, but there shall be a great difference between the men of the world and the people of Jehovah's choice. This may happen in the time of judgments, when the Lord becomes the sanctuary of His saints. It is very conspicuous in the conversion of believers when their sin is put away, while unbelievers remain under condemnation. From that moment they become a distinct race, come under a new discipline, and enjoy new blessings. Their homes henceforth are free from the grievous swarms of evils which defile and torment the Egyptians. They are kept from pollution of lust, the bite of care, the corruption of falsehood, and the cruel torment of hatred which devour many families. Rest assured, tried believer, that though you have your troubles, you are saved from swarms of worse ones which infest the homes and hearts of the servants of the world's prince. The Lord has put a division. See to it that you keep up the division in spirit, aim, character, and company.
Son of God, forsaken, the One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. As he proceeds with these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, "The Secure Standing of the Justified." The text is verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, which Dr. Cairns has called one of the pivotal chapters in the epistle. Having portrayed the sinfulness of the human race, and having explained that salvation is by faith alone in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, the Apostle Paul now sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Whereas once we were enemies of God and at enmity with Him, now, having been justified, we are reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. This also is by faith. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "The Secure Standing of the Justified."
It's something I abominate. And that's a good word to use. I abominate it. And that is the tendency in this day of spiritual weakness for people with big opinions of their own intellect to take these great truths and analyze them to death and theorize and philosophize in a way that puffs up the head but does not melt the heart. And I will tell you, if your theology doesn't make you holy, it will carry you to hell. Understand that. If your theology doesn't touch your heart, it has only filled your head with a diabolical perversion of God's truth. Yet that's what's happening to an alarming degree. People who can spin finely woven theories, they can get into every little nook and cranny of every real or supposed argument. I've often told people I read very little. There are a few exceptions. But I read very little of 20th century Calvinism. Why? Because I'm sick. I'm sick at heart. I've read these things in former times, and I've read again, and I've come, when I come to a writer, and I look at him and say, even if I agree with him intellectually, there's nothing there, to challenge my heart. There's nothing there to lead me to Christ. There's nothing there to focus my faith on the Son of God. There's nothing to fire the soul when I hear and read the same people mocking those who don't dot their I's and cross their T's. They're pietists. Somehow or other, that's a crime nowadays. Whitfield would have been a pietist. Well, if he was a pietist, God help me to be a pietist. None of these people has ever moved anything for God. Yet they're willing to dismiss as pietism the ministry of some of the mightiest men who have moved generations for God. I want you to understand where I'm coming from here. The doctrine I'm preaching about assurance, security, is the Pauline doctrine of assurance. It is not this facile trivialization of truth or the eternal security of believers. And a believer is defined as any reprobate who has ever made any pretense at a decision or walked any aisle, and we have eternal security for people as bad as the devil himself and as unreformed and unregenerate. I don't believe that. But I believe that there is a final, full, irreversible, untouchable security assured to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, far from making them careless, will make them holy. That's the product of grace that Paul is talking about here. Now, I want, having taken time to go into that sort of lengthy analysis, I want you just to grasp this truth of the assurance and the security of believers. Because it's not a motif that I'm imposing on the text. It is Paul's own chief idea. And I like it because here you see Paul the pastor. Paul was a many-faceted man. He was a great theologian, obviously. He was the premier writer, even in the bulk of writing, for the New Testament. He labored more abundantly as an evangelist and church planter. But here you see him as a pastor, and you see him as a physician of the soul. He's just expounded deep theological truth, but he wants it to get down to the practical level. And so he touches on this, one of the most sensitive issues, and yet one of the most vital issues with which a Christian has to deal, and that is the matter of assurance. Now, even in our depleted crowd tonight, I guarantee in a little assembly like this, I guarantee you that right here and now, you have people, sea of people, who are having problems with assurance. I don't know any preacher has ever gone anywhere preaching on the doctrine of assurance without somebody being there saying, that was just for me. And especially when they're facing trouble in life, more especially when they're facing the approach of eternity. And Paul, therefore, is drawing our attention through the bulk of this great epistle to the security and the assurance of believers and the basis. He keep on bringing us back to the basis of that security and that assurance. He's setting before us such a view of the gospel that will carry us triumphantly through life, all the way to glory, in the secure knowledge of our acceptance with God because we're in union with Christ and have His righteousness imputed to us. Now, with all that said, we're ready to begin looking at chapter 5. First two verses, I'm not going to deal with all these, the words of these verses, but the first two verses obviously introduce the whole. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, I want to point out one thing right at the beginning so that you'll see the reason why I'm taking things as I will tonight and, God willing, in the couple of nights to come. I say that because I'm going to deal with this, these first 11 verses, maybe in 7 or 8 main points. And obviously, you don't want to be here when I do that all in one service. But I want you to notice something, because this is critical to all that I'm going to be doing. It says in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And the appearance of that is that we have been justified, we have received peace with God. We'll come to that in due course. Now here's something else in addition that we have received. And so you've got this sort of chronological even, or maybe logical would be better, but it looks chronological. We've got justification by faith, we have got resultant peace with God, and then we also have access to God. Now, the doctrine of access to God in prayer is one of the wonderful, wonderful blessings of God's people. But it's not primarily what Paul's talking about here. If you watch it carefully, you'll find that there's good reason for translating this as a present tense. There is good reason for that. But it's not a present tense, it's a perfect tense. Now, without getting into the details of grammar, if you remember, whatever language you're dealing with, a perfect tense speaks of something done in the past whose results are continuing today. And so he says, by whom also we have had access by grace, or by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. Let me just try to define very quickly some of the terms here before we get into what is the major message of it. The word access carries the definite article, the access. Again, there's good reason for seeing it as access, because it's something that we did get and we still enjoy. But the actual word itself has more of the idea of an introduction. What Paul is saying is we have had the introduction into grace. And of course we still have it, so that's where the idea of access comes in. We don't lose it. But there is here the idea of the introduction. This grace is the basis of our justification. It's God's favor toward us whereby he treats us according to the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have had the introduction into this grace, this basis of our justification. And in this grace we stand. And again, it's a perfect we have stood and we continue to stand. The idea of standing is not to be upright. The idea of standing here is to stand firm, to stand sure, to stand secure. Notice again the idea of security here. There is this standing secure. I think it can well simply be translated, we have been established. We have had the introduction into this grace, the basis of our justification, and in this grace we have been established. That's the message and that's the meaning. Message then, we've been introduced to a new standing before God. On the basis of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. I want you to understand that because there is more confused thinking, even by learned men when they're dealing with Romans. There's more confused thinking by failing to recognize that Paul in justification is dealing with a standing, or if you want it, a status. Now I've said we have a lot of things I want to say in this, but the main thing and the first point of the whole message that will carry us through all these verses is this, that believers in Christ have a secure new standing, a status before the Lord. Understand that. We're not talking at this point about a new character. Oh, we do get that. Sanctification is real. But sanctification is not the basis of justification. Justification is the basis of sanctification. So we cannot deal with one without reaching the other, but we mustn't confuse them. I'm not talking about a new character. We're not talking about a new state of mind. We're talking about something much more fundamental. We're talking about a new legal status, our standing before God. And notice it is a new standing. We have the introduction to it. In other words, it was not our natural status before God. Nor was it one into which we could find our own way. It was not something we could produce. It was not something we could even obtain. We needed an introduction. And as many have pointed out, Paul makes it clear here, you can't have an introduction without an introducer. The one who has introduced us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why twice in these verses he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, or we have the introduction. You see, he alone can present us to God. Time forbids that I go through the New Testament showing that. Jude 24 speaks of the ultimate presentation of God's people. He alone is able to present you faultless. It's Christ that does the presenting. There's no place in the religion of the New Testament, there's no place in the gospel message for Cain's religion of man bringing the works of his hands on the basis of which he presents himself to God. I've mentioned Romans 12, even for Christians. When they're told to present their bodies to God, it is by the mercies of God that they are thus exhorted. What does that mean? It means on the basis of all that you have in Christ. And as we were reminded this morning from Peter's statement, our sacrifices are acceptable to God, not because they're offered by Christians, not because of the best we can do, not because they're even particularly useful or successful. You think of everything you've ever done. Have you prayed? When you've prayed, has there been sin, unbelief, wandering thoughts, things that are unworthy of God? Certainly there has. What makes your praying acceptable to God? Through Jesus Christ. That's what does it. He presents us. Ephesians 2:13. It speaks of us being in Christ. We were one time far off, but were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians takes up the same thing in verses 20 through 22. The same very idea, different words, but it is Christ who does the presenting.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.